Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's English program featuring coverage of Pope Benedict's apostolic journey to the United States. Coming up in just a moment, on the last day of his week-long visit to Washington, D.C. and New York, the Pope prays for peace at Ground Zero, offering comfort to all those who were affected by the September 11th terror attacks. And in a couple of moving encounters with young and disabled Catholics, the Pope calls on America's youth to be witnesses to truth in today's troubled world. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. That was Pope Benedict's prayer on Sunday as he visited Ground Zero in New York, meeting with victims, families and survivors of those terrorist attacks on September the 11th, 2001. As a lone cellist played on the spot where the twin towers of the World Trade Center once stood, the Pope knelt to pray for a few moments in silence before lighting a candle and offering words of comfort to survivors, to rescue workers, and to those who lost friends and families as the towers came crashing down. More than 2,700 people are known to have died in those terrorist attacks. Recalling all the victims who died on that day, the Pope prayed to God for consolation and strength to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among nations and in the hearts of all.
O God of love, compassion and healing, look on us, people of many different faces and traditions, who gather today at this site, the scene of incredible violence and pain. We ask you in your goodness to give eternal light and peace to all who died here, to heroic first responders, our firefighters, police officers, emergency service workers, and port authority personnel, along with all the innocent men and women who were victims of this tragedy, simply because their work or service brought them here on September 11th, 2001. We ask you, in your compassion, to bring healing to those who, because of their presence here that day, suffer from injuries and illness. Heal too the pain of still grieving families and all who lost loved ones in this tragedy. Give them strength to continue their lives with courage and hope. We are mindful as well of those who suffered death, injury and loss on the same day at the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Our hearts are one with theirs as our prayer embraces their pain and suffering. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of the earth. Turn to your way of love those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. God of understanding, overwhelmed by the magnitude of this tragedy, we seek your light and guidance as we confront such terrible events. Grant that those whose lives were spared may live such the lives lost here, may not have been lost in vain. Comfort and console us, strengthen us in hope, and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among nations and in the hearts of all.
Pope Benedict praying there with victims, families and survivors at Ground Zero in the heart of New York City. The head of our English programme, Sean Patrick Lovett, is travelling with Pope Benedict throughout this six-day visit to the United States. He reports now on what was undoubtedly one of the most poignant moments of the visit and one which will resonate amongst the American people for years to come.
Where was God on September the 11th? That's the question that was most often asked in the wake of the attack on the Twin Towers in New York in 2001. People of all faiths and no faith at all were confused, especially since this horrific terrorist act was said to have been committed in the name of God. Coming to terms with the trauma has been a long and painful process, as therapists, psychologists, counselors, and those who run support groups for relatives of Trade Center victims will confirm. Many people still can't find the words to describe what they saw and experienced that day. Like a horror movie, something out of science fiction. These are the catchphrases you hear repeated most often, but they come nowhere near expressing the anger and the pain. Demons must be exorcised, and New Yorkers have their own way of doing that. They tell stories. Everyone has their own, because everyone knows someone who knew someone who died on that faith-shaking day. There isn't a woman or man on Manhattan who can't tell you exactly where she or he was or what they were doing when the towers collapsed. So it's superfluous to say just how much Pope Benedict XVI's visit to Ground Zero meant to the people of New York and to all of America. Even the weather, which has been spring-like and gorgeous ever since the Pope arrived, turned somber and grey. A cool breeze fluttered the flags lining the ramp down onto the bedrock of Ground Zero, where a handful of people representing the New York fire and police workers, survivors and victims' family members stood around the Pope as he prayed, first in silence, and then the prayer that had been prepared for the occasion. A prayer addressed to God, a God of goodness and compassion, of peace and understanding, a plea for healing and an end to hatred and violence. Once again, more than words, it was the images that spoke most eloquently. Symbols, water representing purity, gravel representing a graveyard, a candle, hope, all against the heart-rending notes of a cello playing softly in the background. Before dawn on September 13th, 2001, a construction worker had just lifted three bodies from the wreckage of the Twin Towers when he spotted a 20-foot-high cross-section of steel beams in the shape of a cross standing upright in the rubble. He took it as a sign that God had not abandoned them. For many people, the sight of Pope Benedict XVI praying in silence at the scene of so much violence and suffering, had the same significance. For them, God returned to Ground Zero today. In New York with the Pope, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
It struck our soul. It's hard to imagine how a city could experience something that just won't go away.
Based in New York, Monsignor John Kozar is National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States. Reflecting on the many significant moments of Pope Benedict's visit to his city, he told Sean the importance of these events simply cannot be underestimated.
New York is the Statue of Liberty. New York is the port of entry. New York is New York. It's a microcosm of the whole world here. As people say, you can walk for a block or two and not hear English. It's that truly international, cosmopolitan. The Pope coming here, this is a microcosm of America. And it's a media capital of the world. So everything that the Pope does here, just his visual presence, where he's going, when he's arriving, all of this captured, especially with television, it goes out to the highways and the byways because it's New York.
Then that makes the visit to Ground Zero especially significant.
It certainly does. It certainly does because Ground Zero, I was here when that terrible event happened and even spent time. I lived very close to it and would especially counsel with the firemen and policemen. It struck our soul. It's hard to imagine how a city could experience something that just won't go away. And I think his visit there is a great sign of the all ever abiding compassion of the church. And it's also a statement against the kinds of fanaticism and violence that we find in our culture.
You say it won't go away. One of my colleagues mentioned just yesterday, looking around New York, she looked around, she said, they've forgotten.
No, I don't agree. I really don't. I think it's on everybody's mind in the sense that people will never forget where they were on that day, and it comes up. There have been bickering for years about how to handle the rebuilding there and what would be a suitable memorial and so forth. That's helped to extend somewhat, the thinking, making it active. But I just think it was so deep. The other thing is, it has kicked off a level of security. I heard it, Cardinal George yesterday in introducing the Pope made a comment that security is more important than liberty today.
We spend more time talking about security than talking about freedom.
Freedom, correct, yes. And I think that, of course, goes back to 9/11.
Where were you when it happened?
I was right here preparing to have a board meeting. In fact, some of my board members were in transit and saw both of the towers collapse. One, a very revered director for many, many years, it was chilling. That's something he'll never forget. Imagine being on the bridge, seeing the tower collapse on his way here. Of course, my biggest concern at the time was the safety of everyone here. I made an immediate arrangement for a safe house, not knowing if our people could get home. A religious community offered us floor space if we needed it. And it took till the evening. Some of our people had to walk 15 miles to get home. So there was great fear. We didn't know what else was coming. And we had to be evacuated because there was a strong indication that the building just 150 feet from us, the Empire State Building, was another target. So it was traumatic. It was traumatic.
Speaking of the impact of this papal visit to the United States, Monsignor John Kozar says Pope Benedict's presence in Washington and New York City has been a real revelation for many, even those within the Catholic Church.
I think there is a great surprise. People are seeing what those of us that have met him before he was Pope always knew, a very gentle, humble, peaceful, very bright man. Very wise man. If I could put it into an image, I'd say America has found a new grandfather, a loving grandfather, perhaps one that they never had before and yearned to have. That's the way, even visually, the way he comes off, this very peaceful man. And that's somewhat of a surprise to Americans, but it's spreading quickly. The news is out.
I was kind of surprised at Time magazine's feature article last week, which was headed America's Pope. Why would they say that?
Well, I think because the Holy Father has already showed his cards a little bit that he loves America. And this is another surprise that not only the love, because he loves all, but I think he resonates a lot more with the American psyche. He has a historical grasp. He probably would humble many of us born and raised here with his not only a knowledge of history, but how he integrates it into culture, into the reality of where we are today. That's another surprise for Americans. So he's our Pope.
I've been hearing the last few days, people are surprised that he knows so much about the United States, that he understands so much about this very unique, very specific church that is this side of the Atlantic.
Well, being the academic, the professor that he is to the core, I think he probably has just a love for something like this vast expanse of America. We're a young country, and he appreciates that, especially when compared to Europe. And he's used some of what he knows about the church in this country already in relating to the hierarchs, the bishops in Europe. For example, in meeting with a lot of the groups that come for their ad limina visits, he would encourage them to look to America, that the American Catholic Church finds its core in a parish. A parish here is a community. Europe, I don't know that it ever developed. It's more a building, a temple. Here, for example, with many immigrants coming, a parish, a typical parish, reaches out. I live in Chinatown. I live in a parish, 85% actually Hispanic, 15% Chinese. We have incredible programs of welcome, programs of teaching them English, trying to help them adjust in the neighborhood. I think this Pope resonates with all of that. And he loves to study because he can take the knowledge of what he finds and what he studied about America, and he can share it with others around the world.
Now, we're here at the headquarters of the Pontifical Missionary Societies. This is a missionary church. We've heard him use the word several times in his discourses. How so? How is it changing as a missionary church?
Well, we're a young church. In fact, we're just celebrating a 100th anniversary of being mission independent. We were dependent on mostly Europe financially, and we didn't even have the wherewithal ecclesiastically as far as our hierarchy. We couldn't really operate on our own. We were dependent upon Rome. So that's only 100 years ago. However, we find a phenomenon in the last 25 years, especially, because vocations to the priesthood especially and sisterhood have gone down, changed with the times. We now find ourselves becoming missionary again. That is, we look to India, Nigeria, Ghana, to other Oriental countries, to Latin America, especially with the influx of so many millions of Hispanics. We now look to and need the active missionary assistance of third world missionaries. We're still the most generous country in the world supporting mission operations all over the world, but here we are. Maybe we could say, in one sense, the fruits of our own generosity and our own missionary outreach, but we need it. But it's a great blessing for the church in America. It reminds us of our history in a very human, a very natural way.
Monsignor John Kozar there, National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States. He was talking with Sean Patrick Lovett, who is travelling with Pope Benedict throughout this apostolic visit to the United States. On Saturday afternoon, following the morning mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral, Pope Benedict visited St. Joseph's Seminary in New York, where he met first with a group of disabled children and then with a huge crowd of young people, including several hundred who are currently studying for the priesthood or religious life. Cardinal Edward Egan was on hand to greet the Pope, together with some 20,000 young people, who gave the Pope a rousing welcome.
Most Holy Father, welcome to St. Joseph's Seminary. We are truly delighted to have you here to greet, address, and inspire the youth of the Church in the United States, and with them, our future priests, sisters, and brothers.
In his address to the youngsters, Pope Benedict urged them to be disciples of Christ and witnesses to the truth, which is so often sidelined or even banished from today's society. He spoke of his own teenage years, when the Nazi regime was beginning to rear its ugly head and trample on the truth of human dignity.
My own years as a teenager were marred by a sinister regime that thought it had all the answers. Its influence grew, infiltrating schools and civic bodies, as well as politics and even religion, before it was fully recognized for the monster it was. It banished God and thus became impervious to anything true and good. Many of your grandparents and great-grandparents will have recounted the horror of the destruction that ensued. Indeed, some of them come to America precisely to escape such terror.
Holding up the examples of six ordinary men and women who witnessed to the truth on the streets of New York and are now honoured by the Church as venerables, blesseds or saints, Pope Benedict urged his young audience to imitate them and bring the love of Christ to those seeking meaning in their lives today.
I am struck by what a remarkably diverse group they are, poor and rich, laymen and women. One a wealthy wife and mother, priests and sisters, immigrants from afar, the daughter of a Mohawk warrior father and Algonquin mother, another Haitian slave and a Cuban intellectual, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, St. John Newman, Blessed Catherine Te Caquita, Venerable Pierre Toussaint, and Padre Felix Varela. Any one of us could be among them, for there is no stereotype to this group, no single mold. Yet a closer look reveals that there are common elements. Inflamed with the love of Jesus, their lives became remarkable journeys of hope.
On a lighter note, during that encounter, the crowds of young people also marked Pope Benedict's birthday earlier in the week by singing to him in his native German.
Father, we rejoice with you as you celebrate your birthday and the anniversary of your election as the Vicar of Christ this week.
And the Pope responded, clearly delighted by this simple gesture.
Thank you for this loving gesture. I give you all an applause for a German pronunciation.
Although the Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral on Saturday morning received far more media attention, these two afternoon encounters with the young and disabled people were particularly moving moments for Pope Benedict as well as for his delighted audiences. Sean Patrick Lovett reports once again on those two meetings that concluded the Pope's day in New York on Saturday.
Two very different moments with one very important element in common. Both touched the heart rather than the mind. They were moments where gestures said so much more than words ever could. Both moments happened inside and outside St. Joseph's Seminary, and both gave Pope Benedict XVI the opportunity to engage in a more spontaneous contact, a closer encounter with two groups of people that are particularly close to his heart, disabled children and young people. The second was the more raucous and celebratory of the two gatherings, and was marked by a personal embrace between the Pope and 15 individuals representing groups especially active in parish or community initiatives. It was clear Benedict XVI was enjoying himself, smiling constantly, and even going on an unscheduled walkabout at the end. Also indicative was the fact that the event ran well over time. The Pope used the occasion to remind his youthful audience that freedom is a delicate value, not to be confused with relativism. He spoke of his own youth, marred, as he said, by a sinister regime, and confirmed that truth can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Gestures played a vital role in the earlier encounter with the disabled. The Pope was entertained by a deaf and dumb choir that interpreted a hymn using sign language. Again, the Holy Father spent a long time giving individual attention to the children, their parents, and caregivers. He admitted it is challenging to find a reason for what appears only as a difficulty to be overcome or even pain to be endured. But he reminded them also of God's unconditional love, which bathes every human individual and points to a meaning and purpose for all human life. There was a third moment during the day, but it happened in private and almost went by unnoticed. The Pope was recording a radio message, and during the voice test he improvised comments to the effect that he'd come to the United States to confirm his brothers and sisters in the faith. But, continued Pope Benedict XVI, I have to say that American Catholics are confirming me in my faith. Coming from him, that's quite a compliment. With the Pope in New York, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
That's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme for today. Over the coming days, we will, of course, be bringing you further coverage and reactions to Pope Benedict's apostolic journey to Washington, D.C. and New York. And don't forget, you can find all our news and feature programmes on the internet. Look us up at www.vaticanradio.org/English. For now, stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.